answer for Mr. Hayes. All you have here are the emphatic statements the respondent ran for T. Hayes emphatically denies each and every allegation set out and contained in the form of aforesaid petition for his performance. I think you're going to have to be specific.
Publicize it, and get the word out that nobody had to be afraid to talk to me. They wouldn't be put in jail or anything for talking to me. After that hearing, I checked. I think there were two editions of the Press Senator that came out after that hearing. And it was not mentioned in either edition of the Press Senator. At that time, I called Mr. Edmondson at Commercial Appeal and requested to talk to me.
And you did talk to Mr. Charles Edmondson of the Commercial Appeal, did you?
I've done three times, sir.
Sir?
Three times, yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Hayes, in the article that has been made Exhibit D to the petition for contempt filed at this cause, taken from the Commercial Appeal, Memphis, Thursday morning, September 12, 1968, entitled Ray Security Call Danger to His Old Sanity in Court by Charles Edmondson. Are you familiar with this particular article?
Fairly familiar. I've got to have it memorized. It's...
If you have read it.
Yes, sir. Several times.
Now, did you make the statements in the article that Mr. Edmondson said that you made in the article?
Not all of them, no, sir.
I'll ask you more specifically now. Reading the article, the health of James Earl Ray, charged with slaying Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., is so threatened by security measures enforced at the Shelby County Jail that he may not be able to stand trial as scheduled November 12th. A private detective employed by Ray's attorney said last night. Did you make that statement for Mr. Edmondson?
No, sir, I did not.
You deny that?
I deny that.
Renfro T. Hayes, 40-year-old investigator with offices in the Commerce Title Building, compared some of the conditions in Ray's cell with, quote, devices used by communist police agents to destroy the health and balance of their victims, end quote. Did you make that statement to Mr. Charles Edmondson?
No, sir, I did not make
that. Did you now deny
that? I denied it.
Under oath?
Under oath.
Hayes spoke of bright lights kept shining night and day, of television cameras constantly monitoring the prisoner, and of an uninterrupted lack of privacy. Did you make any comments to Mr. Edmondson along those lines?
Not to this. I spoke of bright lights in reference to several cases. Mr. Edmonds, I had a long discussion to bright light. First, I have never seen James Earl Ray. I've never been in his cell. I, of my own knowledge, I don't know what's going on up there. The most that was ever, the main way I was informed was sitting right in this courtroom and hearing what Mr. Haynes said in court.
You were in this courtroom on September 6, 1968, when Mr. Haynes Sr. sought to bring these matters to the attention of the court?
Yes, sir.
You did hear His Honor instruct Mr. Haynes Sr. to make his motion in writing and present it to the court properly?
Yes, sir.
Now, did your discussion with Mr. Edmondson take place before the September 6th hearing in this courtroom, or subsequent to the September 6th hearing?
Afterwards.
Afterwards. All right. Now, the article goes on to say, Arthur Dean, Ray's attorney, complained of the same items to criminal court judge Deputy Preston Battle at a preliminary hearing Friday. Mr. Haynes was instructed to put his complaint in writing. The written complaint is expected to be argued at another hearing Wednesday. Now, they're quoting you again here, alleged. Mr. Hayes said his work in interviewing prospective witnesses has been easier since Judge Battle Friday repeated his caution that a court order restricting publicity is not to interfere with the right of witnesses to talk to attorneys for the prosecution or the defense. Did you make that
yes,
statement?
Yes, sir, I did make that statement. The purpose in making it was to get it printed again, a second printing to... people that didn't read it, didn't understand the first time, was to get it back in there again, that they could talk to me. That was the...
Well, that much of the article of September 12, 1968, you do admit?
Yes, sir.
Here on the... All right. Interview here by telephone in Birmingham, Mr. Haynes said only he will have his motion asking security changes ready Wednesday. In court Friday, Mr. Haynes charged the conditions both constitute cruel and unusual punishment in court. You know anything about that at all?
I said that Mr. Haynes was the boss, that anything I said had to be cleared with him. And I was informed that there would be a phone call or a visit, personal visit or something made to clear it out.
Did you make this statement contained in this article, Mr. Haynes? Mr. Haynes said he does not think the conditions criticized in Ray's sale result from intentional persecution. Did you make this statement?
I made a statement that was slightly, that was similar to that, yes, sir.
What statement did you make?
I said I've known Sheriff Hines and Chief Parker for a long time. I don't believe either one of them would hurt anybody, yes. And I said that.
By the way, did you admit or do you deny this closing paragraph? Quote, I don't for a moment think Sheriff Bill Morris is trying to drive this guy out of his mind, but it's the effect of this type of surveillance that counts. End quote. Did you or did you not?
No, sir, I did not make that statement.
You did not make that statement. So you deny now under oath, do you not, Mr. Hayes, that you made all of the statements, the paragraphs, you deny all the paragraphs except the one that your work interviewing prospecting witnesses has been easier since Judge Battle Friday repeated his caution that a court order restricting publicity is not to interfere with the right of witnesses to talk to attorneys for the prosecution or the defense.
Yes, sir, I made that statement.
Is that the only paragraph or statement in this newspaper article that you now admit under oath making to Mr. Edwards?
Verbatim, yes, sir.
You say that you've never been to the third floor of the jail building to visit Mr. Ray in his cell?
No, sir. Mr. Leonard, I don't want to sound callous or anything else. True, I don't think I am. But since I took this job, I've been very busy. Night and day, I've worked pretty hard on it. And down South Maine and Arkansas and Mississippi, everywhere. I've just not been concerned with the jail. What happened there just didn't enter my mind. I was just too busy doing what I was hired to do. I'd never gotten excited or worried about what was happening in jail.
Well, is it true enough, Mr. Hayes, that all you know about the condition of Mr. Gray in the jail and his mistreatment, if it is mistreatment, all you know about is what you heard Mr. Haynes Sr. state in open court to Judge Battle on September the 6th?
Yes, sir, that's all I know.
And have you gone out of this courtroom for the purpose of publicity, making any statements at all concerning the security measures taken in regards to James Earl Ray?
No, sir. In my business, publicity it hurts rather than helps. You don't seek it. The only reason that even went as far as I did was first I wanted something to open these witnesses up, something where they would talk to me, tell me just what they knew. And it wasn't coming out unless somebody did something. I was here, I think, by that time Mr. Haynes had already gone back to Alabama. But I wanted to get some of this fear or whatever, there's something that, just when I woke up the man, he knew he could talk to me without being punished in any way. At the same time, the only time it's ever happened, as far as my name was concerned, usually when I work, if anybody has any information, say they just wanted to volunteer to phone in any information, they call the lawyer. The lawyer's name is always known. That situation here, where the lawyer was in Birmingham, Alabama, and I said, well, maybe somebody's around, and I thought, maybe somebody's around town. They'll have something important. They might not know it, but some of something that could get important. They won't spend that money for a long-distance call. If they knew there was somebody in town here that they could forward it on to, they might do it. That was the only reason. I don't need any more business. I've got all the work I can do. I'm not interested in advertising or anything else. But I did think there should be somebody's name here that's somebody wanted to volunteer some information, they could do it. If it hadn't been for